We'll discuss anti-transgender violence and prejudice this hour with the founder of Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is today. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, November 20th. Our guest says this day was set aside to remember the victims of anti-transgender violence and to raise awareness. And we will welcome your questions and your experiences for her. Are you transgendered? Have you lost someone due to anti-transgender hate? Or was the victim of transphobia in any way? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Gwendolyn Smith, managing editor for genderfork.com, author of the Transmissions column for several LGBT publications, and founder, in 1999, of the Transgender Day of Remembrance. She joins us from California, so it is super early for her. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, why did you start the Transgender Day of Remembrance?
Well, it started initially as a web project called the Remembering Our Dead Project, focusing on anti-transgender violence in the wake of the murder in November of 1998 of Rita Hester, who was a transgender woman living in Massachusetts. And when I started to discuss it in some transgender spaces at that time, there was really not a lot of awareness of other murders that had happened in her area, no more than a couple of years before her death. And I really felt like the community itself wasn't aware that there was an issue with us being murdered. And as we started to look into it, myself and a couple of other people, we started to see just how many deaths were out there, and we felt that it really needed to be something that was brought up that people were made aware of, just how many murders were going on. So that led into creating a specific day to highlight the issue of anti-transgender violence and murder, and how it was affecting our community and how many people were dying because of it.
How many people are dying because of it?
Quite a number of people. This year, according to an organization called Transgender Europe, who's been doing worldwide tracking on the issue, there's been 226 killings of transgender people just within the past 12 months.
And this is worldwide.
That's worldwide. So you're looking at one death for every other day, a little bit more than that. Here in the United States that we know of are about 10 cases of anti-transgender violent murders.
And is it getting better or worse over time?
In some ways it's hard to tell because we've started, once you start looking at the issue and once you start highlighting it, you start finding out how many are going on. So initially when we started the project, it seemed like, gosh, there's so many more cases going on. But we really didn't know how many had been going on at the time because there wasn't adequate reporting going on in the press. So, back then when we'd find a case, it was oftentimes, we'd find a news story that was saying something like a man, unknown man dressed in women's clothing was found killed. And you'd have to find, try to find whatever information you could find on it. Today, you're seeing a lot more adequate reporting on the cases. There's still issues that happen with what gets reported on trans people. But you're seeing more reporting simply because there's more awareness. Mm-hmm. The issue, however, of violence from anything that we've been able to tell through the project has actually remained fairly stable for the last 10-plus years, that there's still the same amount of murder going on.
Now, are all of these murders because the person is transgender? How do we know?
Well, we don't know if it's because the person is transgender. In fact, the reason I use the language anti-transgender violence is that I want to highlight the fact that not all the people who are killed due to transphobia, due to issues about transgender, may not necessarily even be transgender themselves. They may not identify as transgender, but the person that killed them perceived them as transgender. An example I've often brought up is when you have individuals who are infants or children who have been killed in anti-transgender violent crimes, who may not have had the language to identify themselves, or may not have been transgender at all. There was a case a few years ago of a toddler who was murdered by their caregiver because the person who was babysitting them decided that this infant wasn't acting masculine enough for them for their comfort.
Yeah, or I suppose the perpetrator perceived that somebody was transgender when that person may not have been at all.
Right, exactly. There was a case that happened a number of years ago in the South where an individual had been out on evening on the town with their wife. Their wife went to go use the restroom. He held his wife's purse while his wife went into the restroom. Another individual saw him with a purse on his arm and perceived him as transgender, used transphobic slurs against him, and murdered him. And this is someone who, as far as we know, was not transgender in any way.
Yeah. So what motivates this hate?
Boy, I wish I knew sometimes. I think that in some cases it's just simply a fear of something that's different, something that they don't understand. I'm hesitant to really put too much weight in that because there is an issue with people using that actually as a legal defense in cases where they're defending themselves for having killed a trans person and using what's referred to as a transgender panic defense that, all of a sudden they realized this person was transgender and they just snapped and couldn't control themselves. I think that's a pretty flimsy excuse for actually committing murder. At the same time, I mean, that seems to be somewhat of the mindset of some of these individuals that are killing. It's still wrong. It's still a murder, though.
The lists of names that you post on your website cataloging the deaths of each year of transgendered people, it seems to be almost entirely women as opposed to men. Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure on that, but you are absolutely right. The issue of anti-transgender violence is one that is largely perpetrated against transgender women as opposed to transgender men, trans people who are female identified. And on top of that, it tends to cross where it's primarily people of color. It tends to be younger individuals. That's where you see this happen. I don't know if it's an issue that, as far as being trans women, if it's an issue of more visibility or, sometimes you do have to look at the intersection of race and gender and so forth and look at it as a broader issue.
I just realized that since this day not only is to remember those who have died, but to raise awareness in general, Can you, well, you know what? I better not. I better not ask this question as we have a newscast coming up in just a in just a bit. I will talk a little bit more about the definition of transgender. And well, not only talk about the anti-transgender hate and violence, but we'll talk about some other challenges facing trans Americans, and we will we'll welcome your questions. We'll welcome any experiences that you may have had or someone you know may have had. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are marking Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is today. That's when the LGBTQ community marks the deaths of transgender victims of violence. We are talking with the founder of this day about the problem of anti-transgender violence, and we'll also talk about other challenges facing trans Americans, other forms of discrimination. And we wonder if you are transgendered or lost someone due to anti-transgender violence. Have you dealt with discrimination or violence because of being transgender? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Gwen Smith, managing editor for genderfork.com, author of the Transmissions column for several LGBT publications, and founder of the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And Gwen, I was going to ask you to define transgender. What does that mean?
Well, it's one I like to go back, and there's a definition that San Francisco put out many years ago that is extremely comprehensive. In fact, in some ways, it's almost kind of over the top as far as how many it covers, but I pulled it up during the break so that I have it handy. This was from the city and county of San Francisco, which identified transgender is used as an umbrella term that includes male and female cross-dressers, transvestites, drag kings and queens, female and male impersonators, intersex, which is questionable in some ways, preoperative, postoperative, and non-operative transsexuals, masculine and female, feminine males, all persons whose perceived genders or anatomic sex may be incongruent with their gender expression, and all persons exhibiting gender characteristics and identities which are perceived to be androgynous. That's a bit of a mouthful. I tend to just say transgender refers to anyone who transcends the gender they were assigned at birth. It tends to be a little bit easier and quicker.
Yeah. So, what is how are you observing today of Transgender Day of Remembrance?
Well, for me specifically, because of being the founder of the event, I end up doing a lot of things just like this on the radio or being interviewed and discussing the event and my experiences of having been this deeply involved with the event for so many years. There's also a local event this evening in San Francisco where our community is coming out and speaking about their experiences and naming the names of those we've lost and holding a candlelight vigil in their honor, which is what a lot of other locations are doing today around the world.
So have you did you know someone who was killed because of anti-transgender violence?
I have known a couple of people who have ended up on the list, We actually, a number of years ago, had a situation where one of the individuals down in Florida who was involved with hosting a Transgender Day of Remembrance event was murdered on her way home from an event. You know, it's something that, you know, does indeed end up affecting a lot of us personally. In the course of my work as well, I've ended up going to locations where violent murders have happened and meeting with the families and becoming close to them. Even in one case a number of years ago, there was a murder in California of a transgender teen named Gwen Araujo, and I was involved with the family, got to know them, attended the trial, so forth. And while I didn't know her personally, I ended up really knowing a lot about her through her family as well.
Yeah. So what are some other major challenges facing trans people, trans Americans?
Well, I mean, obviously, beyond the issue of anti-transgender violence, trans people have a extremely high number of individuals who've committed suicide, who face depression. You have a much higher incidence of discrimination as far as jobs, housing, just public accommodations, issues out in the street, being denied care.
Yeah, there was the Human Rights Campaign reported recently that 1/3 of Fortune 500 companies now cover transgender related health care in their insurance plans. So that's progress?
That's definitely progress. Certainly, I mean, over time, I've never had a case until recently of having an insurer that covers trans issues. It's always been something that's been excluded. And even amongst companies where transgender individuals do get coverage like this, there can still be issues at, you know, if it's a corporation, there can still be issues at a branch with other employees or even with, you know, their employers at that branch.
Yeah, there was a story just in our state news that there is a list, I guess they call it an equality index, compiled by the Human Rights Campaign. And there are 14 Wisconsin companies on that list. 6 earned perfect scores. 4 other companies scored 80% or above. So, I mean, is this... Is this the way to get more healthcare companies to include transgender?
I certainly hope so, and I know that the Affordable Care Act as well. Shortly after it was passed, it was discussed that it is in fact also considered. They also push for trans inclusion. Yeah. As far as their coverages are concerned.
Well, what hurdles do transgender Americans still face in the healthcare system?
Well, a lot of insurers and a lot of healthcare providers still view a lot of issues with transgender as being "quote unquote" cosmetic surgery. You'll see a lot of things that also come up, and this is something that many years ago I was on. The City and County of San Francisco's Transgender Human Rights Implementation Task Force. And at the time, one of the issues we were working on was getting healthcare coverage for transgender employees of the city. And the issue that we were trying to highlight at the time is that an insurer would use their disallowing of transgender treatment to essentially disallow all or most treatment to transgender people. That they would simply say, well, this treatment is transgender related. whether or not it was. You know, you'd have a situation where if someone who was female-identified and female-bodied had was suffering from uterine cancer, as an example, they could get treatment through their health care provider. If that same individual happened to be female-to-male transsexual and was facing the same health crisis, that they would end up being disallowed because the insurer would say, well, you're transgender and, you know, you really can't, this is dealing with your genitals and we don't cover transgender-related surgeries, even though the treatment was for uterine cancer.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Gwen Smith. She is the founder of Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is today. And we are talking about violence against transgendered individuals and discrimination and prejudice. And we're wondering if you have any questions or examples. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What is your experience of transphobia, whatever your gender identification may be? How do we stop or end transphobia? We welcome your thoughts and questions. Well, we have Catherine in Portage joining us now. Hi, Catherine.
Morning.
I understand you are transgender?
I am transgender, male to female.
And what would you like to tell us?
As far as the subject of transphobia, I mean, the last 2 years, I pretty much came out that I was transgender to my current ex-wife. I pretty much have had to go through a divorce and a bankruptcy because I was transgender. I pretty much have had to reset my whole life, and it's not been easy. But the nice thing is my place of employment that I've been employed to, they've given me the privilege that I can transition on the job. And I am very thankful for that.
Wow. Is that unusual, do you think, Gwen?
It actually is still very unusual for employers, even today. I mean, there's been a lot of movement for employee treatment of trans people, but you still see a great number of cases where people are either let go specifically for trans issues or companies find ways to let you go. It's still not that common. And then trying to get a job once you start transition becomes all that harder.
Yeah. So, Catherine, tell us a little bit about what that means. So your employer is allowing you to take the time off that you would need to go through the transition are you going to go through gender reassignment surgery and that sort of thing?
I've been asked those questions, but currently I just don't worry about that too much. I am pretty much focused and dedicated to my job. The thing with the gender reassignment surgery is a lot of companies don't cover it. I mean, a lot of that stuff has to come out of our own pocket, and it can be quite costly, too.
Yeah.
So that's a huge obstacle that we have to overcome also. And same thing with as far as hormones, too. Our typical insurance companies don't cover that either.
Yeah. So it sounds like you do have an employer who is understanding and accepting. But can you tell us if you face on a daily basis or regular basis, transphobia or prejudice or even violence?
Well, I am part of a Madison area transgender group in Madison, Wisconsin. And I see a lot of people come in there talking about transphobia, being rejected. Actually, I was working at the front desk at Outreach in Madison yesterday, and I had 4 phone calls come in with people saying, I've been rejected by my family. I've been pushed away. People, I get hate phone calls all the time. It's like, wow, this is just, it's wrong.
Yeah. So, Gwen, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's never a day goes by where I'm not hearing similar things, you know, whether it's people being hurt, people being discriminated against. It's just such a common thing for trans people to face.
So I know that a recent study by the National Center for Transgender Equality found that transgendered individuals are experiencing high levels of job loss, harassment on the job or at school, housing discrimination. Why is this, or how is this even legal?
Because there's no federal protections for trans people. Although there has been a lot over the last couple of years, a lot of cases that are coming out that are supporting Title VII protections for trans people. There's not a lot of. There are a number of locations that do have laws to support trans people with employment, with housing, and so forth. But there's far more that don't have it at all.
Yeah. So we do. For example, if I'm not mistaken, in Wisconsin, one of the first states to put this on the state statutes to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation, that does not necessarily include transgender.
Right. I mean, trans people are part of the kind of the LGBT movement, but being transgender itself is not a sexual orientation. It's a gender identity and expression and or expression, where our sexual identity, we might be gay, we might be straight, we might be bisexual, we might be asexual. It's kind of a Venn diagram where we cross paths rather than being a single, you know, we're all a sexual minority, but we're not a sexual identity. And mm-hmm. So that language doesn't really cover us.
Well, we have another news break coming up, but before we go to that, what would you like to see happen to try to stem this anti-transgender violence?
We are seeing more going on as far as legal protections. That is growing. I think that hand in hand with that becomes awareness, like what we're doing right now. People becoming aware of who transgender people are, what we're about, and getting beyond any sort of just being disturbed or unaware or even afraid of us.
We are talking with Gwen Smith, managing editor for GenderFork.com, author of the Transmissions column for several LGBT publications, and she is the founder of the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is today, where the victims of anti-transgender violence are remembered. And we are also discussing other issues, other challenges facing trans people, and welcoming your questions and your experiences. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest who founded the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is today. It's a day set aside to remember the victims of anti-transgender violence and to raise awareness. And we welcome questions. We welcome your experiences. Are you transgendered? Have you lost someone due to anti-transgender violence? or was a victim of discrimination or prejudice in any way, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Gwendolyn Smith is our guest. She is the managing editor for GenderFork.com and author of the transmission columns for several LGBT publications. And she is joining us from California, from the West Coast, extra early this morning. We appreciate her time. Britton in Madison is with us next. Hello, Britton.
Hello, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, basically, I wanted to bring up the point on this topic in general, in that we honor those who have been lost to us from violence and murder and things like that on the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And the thing that's lost and the thing we don't really hear about so much is that more than those who have been lost to us by violence, we've lost those to violence towards themselves. There is such a high rate of suicide and mental health challenges among people who are transgender, to the point where I think there are studies out there that show that transgender people are 41 times more likely to die of suicide than the general population, 10 times more likely to die by suicide than those in the gay and lesbian population. And so I just wanted to bring that up as a talking point and just so that that can be brought to the awareness of the day as well.
I'm glad you called, Britton. We touched on it in a previous segment, but didn't talk in depth about it. You sound, and excuse my being nosy, but it sounds like You speak from, I don't know, a personal experience in knowing this?
I do. I'm a peer support specialist in the mental health field. So basically that is someone who's been there, has faced mental health challenges or substance abuse challenges, things like that, who provides support to their peers who are maybe more in the thick of it. But yeah, I've had my own struggles with mental health, and I have seen so many over the years lost to suicide as well.
Yeah. Well, Gwen, what about those are some sobering statistics?
Yeah, that was a study. It came out January of this year from the Williams Institute and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. It's a very, very in-depth study. It showed, the full sample is 41%. It's a little bit higher, amongst trans men versus trans women. And it tends to, the issue of, the attempts of suicide is further exacerbated by, you know, if family don't, speak with, a trans person. Discrimination at work, harassment, bullying, people have suffered from violence due to being trans. The numbers go even higher from that. As an example on that last point, if someone has suffered physical or sexual violence, say at work, the numbers jump from 41% up to 64-65% of individuals. Individuals who suffered violence at school, whether at high school, college, etc., you're looking at 63-78% of those individuals have attempted suicide. So it is a big important deal. I don't want to take away from the issue of violence, but yeah, our audience, the murder statistics, but it is a big issue. I agree. I've dealt with that myself personally with depression, and I have lost friends due to suicide. So I totally understand that. I totally agree.
Very briefly, can you, from what you know, tell us where this depression and suicidal thoughts come from? It's from it's somehow the struggle with the gender identity?
it's not so much in being transgender itself as it is the way that being transgender can affect every other aspect of your life. A lot of transgender people lose their family connections, particularly with some of the younger trans people, that can end up leading to being kicked out of the house, living on the streets. You end up losing jobs, not being able to find jobs, being harassed. Any number of these things really adds to the difficulty and the struggle of being transgender.
A listener, here's a question from a listener. What advice do you have for families of transgender individuals? Going through that transition is at least as difficult for the family as it is for the individual. How can you be supportive when the life you built with someone has seemingly disintegrated?
Yeah, that is an issue. I know that I personally dealt with a lot with my own family on that. I would say one really good resource is the PFLAG organization. Parents and Family of Lesbians and Gays, I think was what that originally meant. They have a publication, I just reached over and grabbed it off my shelf, titled Welcoming Our Trans Family and Friends. It's about a 60-page booklet that they put out that provides a lot of very quick and easy resources for understanding and managing that transition. Because, yeah, I know that from my own personal experience, it was very difficult for my own family as far as where they, how would they introduce this to their friends? How would they introduce this to the rest of the family? So they end up having to manage this transition with me in many ways. So I definitely would recommend looking for what materials are out there to comprehend. There's recently a very comprehensive film that came out this year called Trans Bodies, Trans Selves, which is very deliberately similar to the Our Bodies, Ourselves book that covers very comprehensively, including a lot of material that can be useful for families.
Well, what about transgendered individual who is struggling with the challenges that we've been talking about?
Well, the last book that I mentioned, Trans Bodies, Trans Selves, like I said, it's extremely comprehensive and is the sort of book that, frankly, I wish I had had when I was coming out. It's also, there are a large number of support groups throughout the nation, including quite a number of them in Wisconsin, and there are therapists, which can be very helpful in helping you manage the transition.
Yeah. Why is transitioning so important to transgender men and women? Why is being out so important? If you're not dealing with these problems.
Well, I can really, in a lot of ways, I can really only speak from my own experience, and I think that I had. When I started my own transition, which was more years than I care to mention at the moment, I was really left with two choices. I mean, I could not transition and be miserable, more likely have tried to take my life, or I could fight through this and, go through this transition and face it and live through it.
Here's an email from Jenny in La Crosse. I think a day like today is a good time to reflect on why we put so much energy into identifying our differences and discriminating against them. I am an ally of the LGBT and trans community, and one might ask of those individuals, when did you know you were gay, or why do you choose to be that way? Did any of us choose to be straight, or were any of us forced to question when we knew we were attracted to individuals of the opposite sex? Focus needs to be on our similarities instead of our differences in order to make progress toward equal rights of all kinds. Your reaction to that?
Well, yeah, I've often, you know, faced that. How do you know that you're transgender? And it's like, well, how do you know what gender you are? Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that is innate. It's something that you're simply aware of, and you know, it's something that I first started to have that sense of things back when I was 3 years old, and I think that everyone has sort of an innate identity. And certainly when I was 3 years old, I didn't know anything about transgender or that language.
We're almost out of time. Are you hopeful that we will see an end to anti-transgender violence? And I'm sorry, we just have 30 seconds.
No problem. I certainly hope that we do. And I think that times are changing. The community is growing, and we'll see what happens.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Gwendolyn A. Smith, managing editor for GenderFork.com, author of the Transmissions column for several LGBT publications, founder of the Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is today. We thank her for joining us. And we thank Christy Taylor and Brianne Chasso for producing and directing this program. We thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.